The Crew of the Red Devil Pirates by Badly Drawn Porn. Tortuga, the Caribbean's largest hive of scum and villainy, where the good come to be bad and the bad come to be even worse. It is the largest port inhabited by pirates, and Nagisa is unlucky enough that he gets to call it home. Born in Nassau, his mother came to Tortuga when his father was killed at sea, and when it became apparent that she couldn't feed an extra mouth along with her tendency towards drinking and running off with the first pirate she managed to catch the eye of, sold him into a brothel at the tender age of 12. The owner of the brothel, one Mr. Takaoka, had seen potential in Nagisa that Nagisa wished he hadn't. Thanks to his mother's neglect, Nagisa didn't resemble the other boys his age. While most were strong and athletic, Nagisa was small and lithe, and with the long hair his mother never bothered to cut, resembling one of the young girls of the port more than the young boys. Having no clothes made for boys that would fit him, Takaoka fitted him in the frilly dresses of the girls who worked in the establishment, and soon found that Nagisa was turning heads. So, of course, Takaoka sold him to the highest bidder. After 9 years of being sold as a cheap whore by a man who abused the fact that he had nowhere else to go, Nagisa has slowly been planning how best to exact his revenge and gain his freedom. The price of freedom is a high one, and he knows that it will have to be bought by someone's death. If it's Takaoka's, that's so much the better, but if it's his own, well, that is a price Nagisa is willing to pay to be rid of this life. However, freedom comes in the most unlikely way possible. "Nagisa!" Monica cries, bursting through the door of his room. "We need to leave here, and quickly." "What?" he asks, looking up from his dressing table mirror where he has been making himself pretty for the customers on Takaoka's instruction. "Why?" "The Red Devil Pirates have landed in Tortuga," Monica hisses, her fear evident in her voice. Now that she's said it, the commotion coming in through the window doesn't sound like a usual rowdy Tortuga night. Getting to his feet, Nagisa goes over to the window and sees a town ablaze. Buildings are burning, people are fleeing, and one band of pirates is in the center of it, wreaking all this havoc. Nagisa watches and slowly realizes that he couldn't give a single fuck. What does he care about what happens to a town that has only brought him pain and misery? Why should he be worried when it seems that Captain Karma and his Red Devil Pirates may be about to accomplish what it has taken him years to even build up the nerve to plan? "Oh," he says, still sounding as calm and unaffected as if she were telling him what the weather was supposed to be. "Oh?" Monica all but shrieks. "Is that all you can say?"
"What else should I say?"
Monica opens her mouth to say something, but then, realizing that it is pointless, closes it again and leaves the room in a huff. It's of no consequence to Nagisa. He has never been very popular with the girls at the brothel. He never wanted to associate with them, despite some of their best efforts to try and befriend him. It's not that he has a desire to be unfriendly, more of a realization that they, like Takaoka, want him to be more like them while he wants nothing more than to leave this place burning and never look back. He turns his attention back out the window to the town below where people are beginning to flee taverns, houses, and establishments of a similar caliber to the one he calls home. As he watches one of the larger taverns go up in flames, a solitary figure steps out of the fiery door. Nagisa continues to watch intently as the figure turns in his direction and their eyes meet. For a fleeting second, Nagisa feels his heart begin to pound in his chest. For the first time in years, someone has made him feel something other than a hollowness that has consumed most of his life. Captain Karma. For it must be him with that vibrant red hair and a pistol at one side, sword at the other, lets his gaze linger on Nagisa for a brief second before a smirk grazes his lips. He is as handsome as the rumors about him have led Nagisa to believe, and when he smirks like that, if Nagisa was anything other than a simple prostitute, he would gladly let that man take whatever he wanted from him. Two women, one with flowing blonde hair and the other with eyeglasses, join him outside the burning tavern, and the spell is broken. Captain Karma turns his attention to what they have to tell him, and Nagisa's attention is caught by the sound of the door opening behind him once again. Instantly knowing who it is and no longer caring to follow the plan he had originally formed in his mind, Nagisa reaches into the drawer of his dressing table, pulls out a pistol he stole from a drunkard, and points it at the door. A sardonic smirk crosses Takaoka's face as he takes in Nagisa's glare, no care whatsoever as he stares down the barrel of the pistol.
"Put that thing away, pretty thing. It's unbecoming of a lady to carry a gun."
Takaoka chuckles humorlessly. "Both you and I know that I am no lady," Nagisa snaps and cocks the pistol.
"Hardly a man, though, are you?" Takaoka says scornfully. "Just look at you."
"I am what you made me," Nagisa shouts. His voice doesn't waver, but he could feel tears pricking in the corner of his eyes. Years of shame and hatred at being forced into this life ready to burst forth, but a steady hand keeps Takaoka from realizing.
"Is this your hope, pretty thing? Kill me and make it look like the work of pirates?"
Takaoka sneers.
"You'll hang before you can escape the island."
He's right, and Nagisa knows it. From the stories about Captain Karma and the Red Devil Pirates, a shot behind closed doors isn't their style. If they want to kill someone, they drag them out onto the streets and make an example of them, airing their crimes for the whole world to know. If Takaoka turned up dead after the raid with a bullet wound in his head, the blame would fall to one of the girls, and as Nagisa is probably the only one left in the brothel, the others having long fled, he would be the one and only suspect. Who would choose to defend him either? One less whore to pay. Cornered like an animal, Nagisa turns the gun on himself, pushing the barrel under his chin as both he and Takaoka hear the sound of the front doors bursting in.
"And how will you avoid being convicted for my death?" he asks, staring his captor down.
For a brief second, Nagisa sees something that has never entered Takaoka's eyes in all the years that he has known him. Fear. Finally, on a level playing field, Nagisa would have the upper hand if the door hadn't been kicked down, pirates suddenly surrounding the both of them. Takaoka is forced onto his knees by a white-haired man who is clearly stronger than he looks, and a well-built man with darker hair at the top of his head. Spitting and snarling, he tries to fight them off, before the butt of the blonde woman's pistol knocks him unconscious. A gentle hand takes hold of Nagisa's wrist and moves the pistol away from his throat.
"Let's put this down, shall we, beautiful?" a velvety voice says into his ear. "No need to spill blood unnecessarily."
Nagisa's eyes follow the voice until they meet a smirking face, and he realizes that he's in the arms of none other than Captain Karma. Breath still in his throat, he allows the pistol to be pried from his fingers where it is tossed to the blonde woman. A dark-haired man enters the room.
"There's no others left in the building, Captain," he tells Karma.
"Good," Karma says, and Nagisa can hear the smirk in his voice. "I think it's high time we made our exit, shall we?" The two men holding Takaoka laugh as they drag him out from the room, obviously knowing what's about to happen, and Nagisa stiffens. What are the chances of him being allowed to live while someone is about to die? Karma presses a kiss to his cheek as he secures one of Nagisa's arms behind his back.
"I think you're going to enjoy tonight's execution, beautiful," he says softly. "Anyone would, getting a front row seat."
"Did you scale the building?" the blonde woman snores as Karma leaves, taking Nagisa with him.
"How else did you expect me to make such a grand entrance?"
Karma asks. "You do know that you're utterly over the top," the blonde woman says with a raised eyebrow.
"Tonight I'm just getting started."
A bucket of freezing cold water is thrown over Takaoka's face, bringing him back to consciousness like a slap to the face. His eyes dart around and he swiftly realizes that he is kneeling in front of the infamous Captain Karma, his hands tied behind his back with Nagisa beside him in a similar state. He wants to snap at Nagisa that this is his fault. If he'd just had the balls to pull the damn trigger in the first place, then neither of them would be in this mess. But before he has a chance, a hush falls over the gathered crowd and Karma begins to speak.
"Are you the owner of this establishment, sir?"
he asks, gesturing to the brothel behind him.
"What's it to you?"
Takaoka bites out a retort.
"A ring of whores not being paid their dues I can overlook." Karma pauses for effect, riling up the gathered crowd. "A ring of underage whores? Now that is another matter entirely, one that cannot be so easily forgiven."
"A pirate with morals," Takaoka sneers, completely forgetting his position for a moment. "How quaint."
"How old was this beauty when you first became their guardian?" Karma asks, running a lock of Nagisa's hair through his fingers before letting it fall back about his shoulders.
"My business is my own," Takaoka spits.
"How old were you?" Karma asks, turning his question to Nagisa. Nagisa looks at Takaoka for a brief second, unsure of how to answer, but then the remembrance that he owes this man nothing comes back to him. 12. 12, Karma tells the rest of the crowd, who already looks as if they are out for blood. Well, Nagisa thinks, better his and Takaoka's than anyone else's. "Now I have met those which you would call savages that would not sell a child like that." "She was mine to do with as I saw fit," Takaoka says.
"She was she?"
Karma asks with a raised eyebrow. "An extra mouth to feed needs to pull their weight," Takaoka says, "or the whole family will be ruined."
"Family," Karma snorts, his gaze fixed on Takaoka as the crowd around them begins to roar for someone's death.
After a moment's consideration, he pulls out his pistol and cocks it, pointing it first at Takaoka, then Nagisa, and then back again.
"The choice is yours, sir. Which member of your family dies first?"
Takaoka's eyes widened, and Nagisa realizes, for the first time, he is afraid as he stares death in the face.
"Wait," he says as Karma's pistol moves to him. "Let's talk about this."
"I'm listening," Karma says as his target becomes Nagisa again. Unflinching, Nagisa stares back at him, ready to die if necessary. At least then he will be free from Takaoka.
"If you spare my life, you can have her," Takaoka says hurriedly.
"Can I now?" Karma asks, aim lazily moving back to Takaoka.
"She's young, clean, and she'd normally fetch the highest price," Takaoka says, frantic. "If you let me live, I'll give her to you as a token of my thanks."
Karma chuckles as he stares at Nagisa down the barrel of his gun, Nagisa's sharp, blue eyes never leaving his face.
"Wrong answer," he says, and before anyone can even think, he points the gun at Takaoka and shoots, painting the sand at his knees with brains.
The crowd roars as Takaoka slumps to the floor, dead. Even in Tortuga, the man was not well-liked, and Nagisa knows a number of people who would have happily pulled the trigger on him themselves if they didn't enjoy visiting his establishment so much. As the commotion continues, Karma raises his pistol into the air and fires again, causing a hush to descend on the crowd.
"Let that be a lesson to you all," he shouts. "There are some things that the Red Devil Pirates will not tolerate."
Stalking away from Takaoka's body, he hails over two members of his crew.
"Isogai, Nakamura."
The dark-haired man and the blonde woman step forward.
"Yes, Captain?"
"Isogai, make sure that he is set an example for anyone else who wants to follow in his professional footsteps," Karma says. The dark-haired man, Isogai, pulls an axe out from his belt and a sadistic smile spreads across his otherwise handsome face.
"Yes, Captain."
"Nakamura," Karma says, his gaze sliding over Nagisa.
"Take this one to my cabin. I believe I have found us a new crewmate."
"Yes, Captain," the blonde woman says.
"The rest of you make to cast off," Karma calls to the rest of the crew.
"Congratulations," Nakamura says in Nagisa's ear, a teasing lilt to her voice. "It's not every day someone is summoned to the captain's cabin." If Nagisa is supposed to feel lucky, he doesn't. He has no weapons, no means of escape, and his hands are still bound behind his back. However, he doesn't protest as he is taken out of Tortuga and to the only ship in the port not currently on fire. When he was younger, he would have loved to be able to look around a real pirate ship, but he is not given the opportunity, simply whisked away to Karma's cabin as soon as he is on board. The ropes binding his hands behind his back are released and moved so that they are in front of him, and he is retied to one of the posts of Karma's bed. Once he is secure, Nakamura places a book in his lap, easily within reach of his bound hands.
"So you don't get bored waiting for him," Nakamura says, tossing a wink over her shoulder before leaving Nagisa alone.
Picking up the book, Nagisa wishes that he had a better grasp of how to read. The only person having taken the time to teach him at all was an assassin who disappeared as soon as he arrived. Opening the cover, though, Nagisa realizes that this book is not meant to be read. Inside the pages, a dagger is hidden, one that Nagisa is able to slip into the inside of his dress, and with that, knows he can fight his way out. After what seems like forever, the door of the cabin opens and Karma steps inside. Nagisa does have to admit that he is very attractive, but Karma is now what stands between him and his freedom, and if that means that he has to fight his way past a crew of angry pirates, then he will. Effortlessly, Karma tosses his hat and coat over the back of a chair at a writing desk and turns that heart-stopping smirk on Nagisa. "Alone at last," he all but purrs. "Please," Nagisa says, casting his eyes down, pretending to look demure and innocent. "Please let me go. I won't make any trouble for you." Karma surveys him for a moment, and Nagisa pulls out some more tricks of the trade. Fluttering eyelashes, fingers twisting the material of his dress. All things he's used before in order to get out of an unwanted situation. Something in Karma's face seems to soften, and he closes the distance between them. "How about we undo those ropes and talk?" he offers as he loosens the bindings on Nagisa's hands. He's played right into Nagisa's trap, and as soon as his hands are free, he pulls the dagger from inside his dress and slashes wildly in Karma's direction. Thinking that he has him by surprise, Nagisa lunges toward him, but he was never as in control as he thought. With lightning speed and a satisfied smirk, Karma has him, both hands behind his back, held by just one of Karma's own, and the dagger pointed at his throat. "Well, it seems I was right. You're not just a pretty face after all," Karma purrs in his ear before taking the lobe between his teeth and giving it a gentle bite. "You enjoyed the reading material, I take it?" "Let me go," Nagisa snarls in response. "Or I'll..." "You'll what?" Karma asks, amusement in his voice. "I have you right where I want you, my pretty little whore." He trails the dagger down from Nagisa's throat to the tie at the front of the bodice of his dress. Eyes wide, Nagisa realizes what's about to happen, and that he will most likely be killed when Karma realizes that he's not a woman. "No, don't!" It's too late. The dagger slices through the tie as if it were nothing, allowing the bodice to fall away and expose Nagisa's flat chest. Screwing his eyes shut, he waits for the outrage, but it never comes. Instead, what he hears is a chuckle, and the dagger clattering to the floor as warm fingers begin to move up his chest. "I knew it," Karma says. "What? How could he have possibly known?" "He sold you as a woman to men drunk enough not to realize that you didn't have a cunt and charged extras for the ones that wanted a boy with no questions asked," Karma says, his fingertips still tracing up Nagisa's chest. "You think I liked that?" Nagisa spits. "You think I would have chosen that life if given half the chance? I was forced into this the moment a pirate wanted to pay for me." "So it is you," Karma says. "What?"
"I came to this island when I was 13 with my father, who was captain at the time," Karma says. "His crew went to a brothel, and one of his men picked out a boy who was dressed as a girl. I could tell instantly that the boy didn't want to be used in that way, so that night, after he had gotten what he wanted, when we were back on the ship, I slit his throat in his sleep and vowed that one day I would come back to rescue that boy."
"But you..." Nagisa begins, turning wide-eyed to face Karma now that the grip on him has slackened.
"Sorry it took me so long," Karma says with a smile. "I was marooned on another island, but that's a story for another time."
Nagisa looks him up and down. He could be telling the truth. It could just be a ploy. But he remembers that night as if it were yesterday, the first time he had ever been taken against his will and sold by Takaoka. He even remembers the red-headed boy with the devil in his eyes who locked his gaze with him and was led away like a lamb to slaughter.
"And what do you want with me now?" he asks. "Join my crew," Karma replies. "What?"
Did Nagisa hear that correctly? Why on earth would Karma want him to join his crew? "You're skilled with a blade, fearless in the face of death, and, if I may say so, the most stunning person I've ever set my eyes on," Karma says, reaching out and gently stroking a hand down Nagisa's cheek. Letting his eyes slip closed, he tries desperately not to lean into the touch, although he's sure that karma knows the effect he has on him. And what would I be getting from this arrangement? Nagisa asks.
Your freedom, Karma replies, and the chance to make men like your previous guardian pay for their crimes.
He slips an arm around Nagisa's waist and pulls him close. At my side, my blue-eyed beauty, you would be a force to be reckoned with. And what would you ask of me in return? Nagisa asks, unable to stop himself from leaning into Karma's embrace.
Everything about him is intoxicating, from the way he smells of smoke and gunpowder with an underlying hint of sea air, to the hungry look in his eyes that says he'll devour Nagisa whole if given half the chance.
Right now I'd settle for your name, he says. Nagisa. A beautiful name, Karma says. It suits you well. Thank you. So, will you join my crew? Karma asks. Have a taste of all that you deserve and never look back at your old life again?
Karma doesn't need to think on it long. He would have said yes the moment Karma took that gun out of his hand at the brothel.
I will. Then shall we seal our new alliance with a kiss? Karma asks, a smirk gracing his handsome features.
I confess, Captain, I have never been kissed by a gentleman before, Nagisa admits.
Well, that's good, for I am no gentleman, Karma replies with a chuckle.
Allowing himself to smile, Nagisa rephrases, Then let me put it another way. I have never been kissed by anyone before.
I'll imagine you've never experienced the pleasure of being fucked so completely that you see heaven, the stars, and everything this world could possibly have to offer, Karma says, running his thumb over Nagisa's bottom lip.
Pleasure is not mine to have, Nagisa states.
Was, Karma corrects, before slipping his hands around the back of Nagisa's neck and pulling him into a heart-stopping kiss.
Nagisa's breath catches in his throat. So this is what it's like.
His mind and heart racing, he is unsure of how to react, before his instincts take over and his fingers sink into Karma's hair. Soft moans and whimpers sound from the back of his throat as Karma's hands reach down to rip off the skirt of the dress he still wears.
The tattered material falls to the floor, and Nagisa is picked up to then be laid down on Karma's bed. He watches, pushing off the last of the tattered dress, as Karma pulls his shirt over his head and tosses it away. Instantly, they are on each other once again, hands and lips roaming as Karma kisses a path down Nagisa's neck, making him arch up off the bed into his chest. It's never felt like this before, never felt this good simply from having someone's hands on his skin. Nagisa feels as if this is what has been missing all of his life.
Karma is what has been missing all of his life, and all he needs is his touch.
He reaches up to claw at Karma's back, blunt nails digging into his shoulders as Karma's hard cock rubs against his, their clothes creating a delicious friction that sends Nagisa wild with pleasure.
Captain, he moans, breathless, head falling against the sheets as Karma's teeth find one of his nipples.
We can dispense with the formalities, beautiful. Karma all but purrs before his tongue snakes out to circle the other nipple. It's only you and I here.
Karma, Nagisa groans as he forces his hands between their bodies in order to begin undoing the ties on Karma's trousers.
Before the night is over, Karma says, pulling back to press a heated kiss to his lips, his own hands helping him to get out of the last of his clothes.
You will be screaming that as if it's the only word you know.
Yes, please, Nagisa moans. What's it like to want it?
Karma asks as he kneels before Nagisa's spread legs and begins to press kisses to the inside of his thigh. It's intoxicating, isn't it?
Yes, Nagisa cries, fingers clutching at the sheets as every sensation that has been out of his reach floods through him.
Oh, fuck yes.
It's about to get even better, Karma says, a devilish gleam in his eye as he reaches into the bottom drawer of the chest next to his bed and pulls out a vial of liquid. Pushing himself up on his elbows to watch, Nagisa sees him pouring some of the viscous liquid over his fingers, spreading it around, before that tongue is back to distract him. As Karma licks his cock from base to tip, he slowly works a slick finger inside. It's unlike anything he has experienced before and can't stop himself from crying out loudly, his fingers gripping the sheets tighter.
What are you doing? He asks, just about managing to find his voice.
I'm assuring that you have a pleasurable experience, too, Karma tells him as he begins to slowly thrust his finger in and out. Trust me, and I'll make your wildest dreams come true.
Nagisa is inclined to believe him. No one has ever treated him this way before, as if he is the most precious thing in the world, as Karma works him open for his cock.
Nagisa lets the pleasure wash over him, allowing himself to be used not as a whore, but as a lover. Karma's lips explore the inside of his thigh while his fingers drive him wild in a way that no other man ever has. He feels as if he's drowning in pleasure and they've barely just begun. His head is spinning, his body acting of its own accord and thrusting up in order to get Karma in as deep as possible as high mules and whines fall from his lips. Just when he thinks that he'll fall into something there is no coming back from, Karma's fingers slip out of him and Nagisa whines at the loss.
Don't worry, Karma says with a chuckle as he pours more of the liquid onto his hand to slick his cock up with it.
The best part is about to begin. Seating himself on the bed, he pulls Nagisa into his lap and slowly eases him down onto his cock. Whenever Nagisa's been taken before, it has always been roughly, against his will and with his eyes forced down so that the man behind him doesn't have to look at his face. Now, he's held in Karma's arms as if he's the most precious treasure in the world. The way Karma holds him and kisses him when he's fully seated down on him, filling him completely, is amazing, and all Nagisa can do is cling to him as Karma begins to thrust up into him.
Shit, you feel amazing, Karma moans hotly into his ear.
Karma, I...
Nagisa can't quite get the words in his head to come out of his mouth. All he can manage is a long, drawn-out moan as the head of Karma's cock finds its mark against his prostate.
Tell me how you feel, Karma pants. Tell me what you want.
Oh, fuck, Nagisa cries as his guts tighten. I'm so fucking close. I want to come.
Words that he finally means and knows to be true, rather than simply something to say to bring a client closer to their own end.
Will you come for me? Karma asks, voice strained as Nagisa clenches around him and draws him closer to his own end. Will you come just from feeling my cock inside you and be mine?
Yes! His orgasm crashes over him like a wave breaking on the shore, and Nagisa is so caught up in the pleasure that he barely notices Karma gripping hold of his hair or slipping a hand under his pillow to pull out another dagger and cutting it away. He does feel Karma still inside him, pulling him in for a kiss with his now empty hands and the familiar feeling that, this time, doesn't make him want to retch. The two stay locked in each other's own embrace, lips and hands still claiming purchase until they are overcome with the need to breathe. Only then does Nagisa notice the remains of his hair, scattered on the sheets beside him.
That life is over, Karma tells him, brushing Nagisa's fringe from his eyes. You're a pirate now, and, if you so desire, my lover. A smile spreads over his face, and Nagisa leans down to press his lips to Karma's. If that is my captain's wish, then I will gladly accept.
Ladies and gentlemen, Karma addresses his crew the following morning. After last night's visit to Tortuga, we have a new heading and a new crewmate. A hush falls over the crew, all of them eager to see this new addition to their ranks. Meet our new assassin. Dressed in the clothes of a sailor, found for him by a man named Miyahara, Nagisa steps out onto the deck to stand beside Karma, an official member of the Red Devil Pirates.